Thank you very much, Eamon. Now, News Talk has teamed up with SSE Airtricity to take a deep dive into climate change and sustainability. So we all want to live in a cleaner, greener world. We know small choices can make a big difference, and that starts at home. So broadcaster and regular on this show and others, Barbara Scully, she's taken up the challenge to learn more about what she can do in her home to help Mother Earth. So earlier this week, Barbara invited Susan Andrews. Susan is a demand generation campaigns manager with the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, the SEAI. She invited her to her house so that she could get an assessment of how she's doing and how to plan for the future. After a quick hello, they got down to business and they started in the living room, where Barbara says the family spends most of their time.
Okay, come on through into this is the living room. And this is where we spend most of the time. And as you can see, I have an open fire, mm-hmm. which I hope you're not going to tell me is a really bad idea, because I love my open fire. You're making faces at it. I love my open fire. And this is the thermostat for the heating, which I thought I was being very clever at getting a few years ago, because it's one of those smart things. Now, I don't have the app on my phone, though, but you're meant to be able to control it from when you're out and about and all the rest of it. It's in the living room. Yeah. Is that a good idea?
I know you like your fire, but
no, I don't like it. I love it.
Love it.
I love it. Okay.
Well, unfortunately, you're losing 70% of your heat through an open fireplace. So they're really not that energy efficient. My advice would be, no, you shouldn't use a fire. And really, if you want to block up drafts in your house, you know, a very quick way of saving heat is chimney bloom.
Chimney balloon
that you can get in a hardware store, and it's going to temporarily block your chimney. But yeah, I have to say, sorry, Barbara.
You couldn't be putting that up and down the chimney, though. I couldn't put the balloon up when the fire wasn't on and then take it down when I want to light the fire.
Still, every time you light your fire, first of all, you're losing 70% of your heat, and then also, you know, air pollution. It's not great for your CO2 emissions and your carbon footprint. So it's just something to consider. I mean, even if you were to look at maybe a stove or something like that, even those are a little bit more energy efficient. But still, in terms of air quality and that, they're not great. Ideally, you want to move away from fossil fuels and open fireplaces. Right.
Which way did you come in? Off you go. Okay, I'll have to think about that. My mental health has to come into it as well. So I'll think about that. But I will take on board what you say. My thermostat is in here.
Your thermostat is in here with your open fire. Yeah. That's not ideal either. No. So, and I think you had said to me earlier that, you know, this room, your living room gets very warm,
yeah.
but the rest of your house gets kind of cold. Mm. And the reason for that is your thermostat is setting the temperature for your living areas. So that's going to include your kitchen and your downstairs rooms. So when you have a fire burning, it's giving a false heat to the thermostat. So it's shutting down the heat in the rest of your house, basically. Yeah. So that's why the rest of your rooms are colder. So what I'd actually suggest is that you move that thermostat out of your living room. And generally speaking, you want to have your thermostat somewhere where there isn't an additional heat source. So kitchens aren't ideal either, because you have your oven and that's generating more heat. Because you use your fire, I mean, if you didn't have a fireplace, the living room would be perfect. Because you do, then I would suggest the hallway. Now, others would say also that, you know, opening the front door causes a draft and that reduces the temperature. But in your case, it's probably the best unless you do take that step and block up your chimney, then your thermostat can stay in your living
room. I should also say that we do turn off the radiators in here when we have the fire lit. We don't actually sit in an oven, you know, generally speaking, unless there's snow or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that then explains the other problem, because I know I was to look at what my thermostat was set at.
Yeah. So can you tell me what temperature your thermostat is at?
Okay, prepare yourself now to be shocked. Okay.
Wow, it's Mediterranean.
Should I say
32 degrees? Okay, 20 degrees. We would normally say turn it from 21 to 20 degrees and you're going to save 10% on your energy bills. So you can just imagine what you're going to save on your energy bills.
See, it never gets to 32, clearly, right?
So it must do in here, because that's why it's shutting off your radiators in your other rooms and they're cold.
I don't think it does. Okay, maybe. Okay, well, I'm going to move that joke anyway. And that's not a big yoke. That is literally just stuck to the wall. There's no.
No, that's not wired. Wired in. That's a smart thermostat. So you could.
So I can just take that off and stick it wherever I want.
Yeah, brilliant. I would say your whole, just looking at your house, is probably your best bet. But maybe as far away from your front door as possible, because the front door will bring the temperature down on the thermostat, and then your heating will click in more than it needs to.
Here's another question for you in relation to heat, which may be an old wives' tale, but it's one that I would be very hot on. Boom, boom. Is curtains. Yeah. You know, this time of year, I know at the moment the temperature's gone back up again.
Yeah.
But at this time of year, the temperatures are starting to drop. And maybe you've gone through the whole summer and you never really close the curtains very much. But closing curtains does keep the heat in, right?
Oh, it does. Yeah. I mean, windows, obviously, you know, your heat is going out the windows. Like if you have very good insulated windows or, you know, triple glazing.
Sure.
But even still, you know, as it gets dark, we would suggest close the windows, and that's going to help. It helps with drafts as well. And draft proofing is really important as well. So even go to your hardware, get draft strips, you know, under your doors and that, and it'll help keep that heat in the rooms that you're using.
You're going to kill me when you go out into the dining room as well, and you see when we're talking about drafts, because we have a cat flap, because we have a lot of cats, and we also have a puppy who demolished the cat flap, so we now have a large hole in the back door. But anyway, shinshke lela, as they say. Shall we motor on maybe and have a look at appliances?
Sure.
Okay. How else should we think about radiators in our homes?
Yeah, well, it's great to see that you do actually have heating control, so that's really good. So that's going to give you greater control on how you use your energy. And, you know, you need to meet the requirements of the household. So you're able to time and zone your heating, so you'll have, you possibly, I don't know, have separate zones for upstairs and downstairs.
So, well, I'm a firm believer now, here we go again, and this could be a complete old wives' tale, and again, it's something I repeat, a mantra here, is that I believe that once the house is warm downstairs, the heat rises, so the upstairs will be reasonable. And as upstairs is mainly just sleeping, I am a firm believer in having a cold bedroom, a warm bed, put in your hot water bottle, but I don't believe, unless there's thick snow on the ground, that we need radiators in bedrooms. I'm saying that for the benefit of my adult children. Once again, don't need radiators on in the bedroom unless there's 3 feet of snow outside.
Well, you're not far wrong. We'd always say in the bedrooms and upstairs, you can actually keep your temperature at a lower, and it's healthier for sleeping.
Yes.
So, I mean, obviously some people will want radiators in their rooms, and you might have a separate thermostat upstairs. So that allows you to set a different temperature upstairs. It also allows you to set the heating to come on at a different time. So you might want your heat on a bit more downstairs in your living areas, but maybe only a quick blast upstairs to warm up the bedrooms when you're going to bed. But that's going to give you greater control. And then as well, you have a separate setting for hot water. So in the summer, when you don't want to run your heating, you can just turn on your hot water, and you're only using energy to heat that hot water. So heating controls are going to save you about 20% on your energy bills. So, you know, it's a great way of reducing that energy.
And having the thermostats on each individual radiator as well is important, isn't it? So that you can kind of have them half on or a bit on or fully on or whatever, so that you're controlling it a little bit that way as well.
That's right. Yeah. In rooms where, you know, they're not controlled by your thermostat, you could have they're called thermostatic radiator valves, and it just allows you to turn them down.
Sure.
And we'd always say in rooms that you don't use that often, definitely keep them low. There's no need to be blasting the heat out in those rooms.
Okay, I've come back a little bit from the disaster that we started out with. Okay, phew, that's great. Now, again, as I mentioned to you at the beginning, this house was built in the kind of late 60s.
Yeah.
So insulation wasn't a big deal. Now, I don't tend to go to the attic very often. One of the reasons I got married, sort out bins and go to the attic to bring down stuff. But our attic, I believe, is insulated just on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough? Or because I know that it's freezing in the winter and it's boiling in the summer up there.
Yeah.
So,
well, I suppose what we've been talking about, all the quick tips that people can do straight away to reduce those energy bills, but still have a warm, cozy home. But yes, you really want to look at what we call a home energy upgrade. And a good look, if you don't know where to start, we would always say, look at getting a B or assessment of your home. And that's where we have a list of registered B or assessors that come out to your house. They do a very non-intrusive assessment of your home, a bit more detailed.
They make you feel as bad as you made me feel about the fire
bit. They're going to tell you where all you're losing all your heat, where there's over, you know, demand on your energy, and they're going to tell you how. They'll give you what's called an advisory report, and it's a personalized roadmap that's going to help you make your home more energy efficient, reduce that energy consumption. And
this
also
is all good for the planet as well as being good for your pocket, right?
It is. I mean, it's, look, the big things about a home energy upgrade are you're going to have a cozy home.
Yeah.
You're going to get rid of all your drafts and you're going to save money on your energy bills. And yes, it's a positive impact on the environment. And a fourth one is it's going to add value to your home, because as you improve your BER rating, the value of your house is going to improve.
Okay. I have two questions in relation to that. Roughly how much does it cost for somebody to get a rating done on your, an assessment done on your home?
Yeah. Well, it's roughly around 200 to 250, but there are a list of registered assessors on the website. So do shop around. Yeah, get a quote. Okay. Yeah.
The other thing, and again, this could be this could be just my own neurosis. I have an inbuilt kind of fear of this idea of, you know, kind of sealing your house so much that you're kind of in a bubble. And that could be because I'm menopausal, or it could be just, but I like the idea of a bit of fresh air. Yeah. Now, I don't like sitting in a draft, but obviously I have this fear of the whole place being hermetically sealed. And then I always think that's not very healthy and it's not very good for us.
Yeah, no, and you're right. And actually what we would say is, you know, once you get your BER assessment carried out, the next step is then to look at insulation. And with insulation, so you want to make sure you've got a really well insulated attic.
Okay.
You're losing about 30% of your valuable heat through an uninsulated attic space. Then look at insulating your walls. There's various types of wall insulation to suit your budget and your wall types. Look at your doors and windows, make sure they're high performing and keeping that heat in. But throughout of all of that, you know, when installers are putting in insulation, it's really important to have good ventilation. So all of the, we have a list of contractors on our website and they all work to the building regulations and to our standards, and ventilation is key. You do need healthy air coming into your house.
Yeah.
I mean, even from, you know, making sure you have a healthy environment, it's also for the fabric of the house. It has, you know, you don't want moisture building up in the house. So ventilation is part of getting your attic insulated and your wall insulated. So it comes with it. So you don't need to worry.
I don't need to worry about that. Phew. Excellent. Now, okay, so you do all that and you insulate your home and everything else. The other thing which I would love to do down the road is maybe use, you know, the natural resources that we have available in order to generate energy. So solar panels. I don't know why we don't. Again, the house being built when it was, we have probably a larger than average back garden. No, it's not huge. But I always think little domestic windmills in the back garden to produce, you know, to produce energy would actually look really cool as well. What's the story with that? Are there grants available?
Yeah, well, we have absolutely the next step. Once you have a really well insulated home, then we'd say kind of look at your heating system. So I've already spoken to you about having an open fire. If you can go away from fossil fuels, heating controls are brilliant. But the next step to a renewable technology would be a heating, would be a heat pump system. You know, that's really energy efficient. It works well with solar PV because it works off electricity. So you've got solar PV on your roof that's giving you that electricity, and that's going to give you a really good carbon footprint as well. So that is the next step. Now, just to say, because I know homeowners are always like, how much is this going to cost? We do have three different routes to getting grant support through SEAI. And the first one, just to quickly touch on, is for, it's a free energy upgrade. So for homeowners that are qualifying homeowners that are in receipt of certain welfare payments. So that includes the likes of domiciliary care, carers allowance, the fuel allowance. We actually carry out a full free energy upgrade for their home. So we manage the entire process for them. Now, for homeowners that don't qualify under that program, we have two other routes. So if you want to do it all in one go, bring your house up to a minimum B2 BER rating, you could look at going through our one-stop shop service. So there are providers that are going to project manage the whole thing for you, because it is a big task. It's daunting. Homeowners don't know what to do. They'll manage the grant application, they'll manage all of the works, and they'll assign the contractors.
Yeah.
And so it just takes the pain out of it for you. And the benefit there is that you're paying for the works upfront minus the grant. So you're getting the grant straight away, and then the one-stop shops claim the grant back through SEAI. Now, if you're not in a position or you're not ready to take that leap, you can go through our individual energy upgrade grant. So you might just want to insulate your attic and just get a grant for that. And then we have €400 for that. So the grants cover approximately a third of the cost of works.
Okay.
So there's different options and they're all on our website.
And roughly how long then in general, and I know this is kind of a bit of how long is a piece of string, but in general, how long does it take if you do spend, you know, invest in solar panels? How many years in general does it take before you start to see the benefit of that, you know, that you're in profit, if you like?
Yeah, well, again, it depends on the energy consumption in the house and the occupancy, how many people are living in the house, and if you have your temperature up at 32 degrees.
Yeah, okay, we can stop now with the temperature at 32 degrees. Yeah, I'm going to change that.
can edit that. But it really depends on how you use the energy in the home. And I have to say, there's a lot of new technologies coming onto the market, which is having a really positive impact on the prices. So the prices are coming down. But you could be looking at around, you know, 10 to 15 years on solar PV to get payback on it. But, you know, you are saving annually on your energy bills. And again, it's all that comfort factor that you're going to get from improving the comfort levels in your home.
So get it done young kids, get it done early kids, that's the message. But also, as you say, it then adds value to your home as well at
it
the end
does,
of the day,
yeah,
which is
yeah.
you know, it's a good idea. Excellent. Okay, right, so they're like kind of the big projects, but things that we can do immediately. Can I bring you into my kitchen and let's have a look at how from tomorrow I can start being better at all of this stuff?
Sure.
Okay, let's go. Okay, so we're in the kitchen, mm-hmm. and I guess the dishwasher probably is something that we should look at, should we?
Yep.
Okay, so now I do know, I'm trying to gain ground here, but I do know that your dishwasher, I mean, we would run it at night,
okay.
at the end of the day, and it always is full.
Yeah, well, that's perfect.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, avoid the peak times. Running your appliances at peak times. It might not save you a lot on your bills, but it actually just takes the pressure off the grid.
The
and as you know, that's what we need to do. But for these appliances, the likes of dishwashers and even your washing machines, the biggest energy usage there is heating the hot water in those appliances. So looking at your dishwasher, I can't see that it has an eco setting. But maybe some of the newer appliances, they do have eco settings. A good thing if you are looking at replacing appliances is look at the energy labels. So that will tell you how energy efficient
they are. They're the things that look like a rainbow on the front of the appliances.
Yeah, they're very like the BER ratings on houses. So they go from A to G, A being the best. And then if you get an A appliance, it's the most energy efficient. So it's using less energy and it's going to save you money.
Okay. All right. So washing machine then would kind of have a similar kind of thing, would it?
It would be the same, yeah.
Okay. One of the things that I think is that I was only dawning on me when I was thinking about this is that I had started to wash most of my clothes at 30 degrees, you know, on the basis that this was better for the environment and using less energy and all the rest of it. And then COVID hit and we were all told to wash stuff in a hotter temperature in order to kill the COVID. So I think a lot of people haven't gone back. And I certainly, until I started to think about it, thought, oh, I can now go back probably to doing the 30 degree wash again.
Yeah.
That's probably the best idea, is it?
Well, I certainly would. And I can see on your appliance there, your washing machine, that you do have an eco setting on this one. So that's a brownie point for you.
Great.
Yeah, no, I would suggest using the eco settings now. I think we can safely go back to using lower temperatures for our washing.
Okay.
And I tumble dryers. Mm-hmm. I see you have a tumble dryer there.
Yeah, no, I do. But yeah, I do. Right. I do. And I mean, we live in Ireland. And in fairness, you can't always be drying your clothes much as you'd like to outside. And there's four adults in this house, including two adult females who are very disorganized when it comes to needing stuff like now, tomorrow, like now, this minute. Mm-hmm. So I also do have, though, a washing line.
And that's brilliant. I mean, I'm saying myself, I'm very much an advocate of put your clothes out, let them dry, air dry. And if you can even use a clothes horse inside or when on a dry day, put it out.
I have a clothes horse as well. Okay, so that's two more points for Barbara.
Yeah,
right.
And if you're stuck for space in your garden and you don't want to put up a permanent washing line, clothes horses are portable. Outside. So it's just where you can, saving a bit of energy and being more energy conscious so that you're not using unnecessary energy.
You can put your knickers in the dryer, can't you? I remember growing up before the days of tumble dryers and my mother festooning the entire house. Every radiator had knickers and socks on it, which was mortifying when anybody called. So I'm not going back to those. So I can stick my knickers in the tumble dryer for a quick few minutes.
Well, they dry quicker out in the line and it's more, you know, environmentally friendly.
Okay, right.
Okay, so they're probably the main draws of energy in your home. So, but if you look at other appliances like, you know, laptops, computers, even lights, it's really important, that mantra, to switch everything off that you're not using. So I certainly know that I grew up in a household that, you know, in any room that you weren't using, you were to switch off the lights. That's really important. And again, we all have a habit of putting our TVs and our laptops on standby and going to bed or going out. Switch them off. All of those are still draining a lot of energy. So, you know, it's unnecessary energy use.
Can I just shout this out? Daughter's sitting at the table there. Switching off lights is really important. Because it's not me that doesn't switch off the lights. And I know in most houses, it's not the people who pay the bills that don't switch off the lights. It's the other people, the freeloaders, who leave all the lights on. Okay, so we've kind of gone through everything that I can think of at the moment, Susan. I'm kind of nervous of asking you this question, but am I at the races at all? Like, how am I doing? What would you rate where I'm at now?
Okay, well, Barbara, you're not doing too bad. I know, okay, the heating is an area that you do really need to look at. And I think that's something you can fix pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Move that thermostat and turn it down. And then you're actually going to find where your living areas were really cold, you're going to have greater comfort. So that's a benefit.
Okay.
But you are doing really positive things. You know, you're very aware of, you know, your eco settings on your appliances,
yeah,
when to use them. You try not to use the tumble dryer. You've got your washing line outside. And it's clear you're very conscious of your impact on the environment. So all in all, I think you fare about a 5, but you could certainly move back up there.
Could do better, yeah. Could do a whole lot better, yeah. You got potential, but... Okay, but I have a much clearer idea. And obviously, I think for most people, you know, such as like myself, is that it's a little bit of planning now in order to maybe look at doing some more insulation. And certainly the attic is an area that I can start with and then maybe look at further down the road doing more insulation and getting and possibly even getting solar panels at some stage.
Yeah, I think definitely it's great to see that you're, you know, you're very conscious about your energy usage. And even, you know, you've a big household, so get more people aware of that. It's all about It's all about behavioural change.
Yes.
So, I mean, if we have one person in the household that kind of champions that change, it will have a knock-on effect. But you're dead right. You know, we do need to look at kind of the bigger things we can do in the home. That home energy upgrade, looking at assessing your home if you don't know where to start. Yeah. Definitely starting with the insulation, making sure your house is not losing all of that valuable heat. And then look at your renewables. And all of that is actually going to have a much bigger impact long-term on your home comfort and your energy savings.
Excellent. I'm off now to fix the cat flap. Thanks a million.
Thanks very much, Barbara.
Yeah, a few home truths there for Barbara Scully. This is all part of News Talk Goes Green with thanks to SSE Airtricity, Ireland's largest provider of 100% green energy.